Let's pray. Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts. Teach us today the things you want us to know and show us the things you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There's a great deal going on in that passage. There is a lot going on. There seems to be a big focus on money, or better yet, possessions. The word there that's translated is the Greek word chromata, which Aristotle defined as this: all those things of which the value can be measured in coinage. We might have a different word today. We might call it commodification. We've made something into a commodity that can be bought and sold. It has value based upon what we can buy and sell it for. Many things in our lives have changed and become commodities that didn't used to be commodities. But we're not going to talk about that this morning. There's a part in this story about how money can keep people out of heaven. For those of us who live in one of the richest countries in the world, that passage right there can make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. When I was in Sunday school as a kid, I remember being taught that there was a small gate on the wall of Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle, and that camels would have to crawl on their knees to get through it. But it was possible for a camel to actually get through this small gate, and that's what Jesus was talking about. Unfortunately, I learned that's not true. The idea of the gate being called the Eye of the Needle didn't originate until about 900 years after Jesus. And then it took on a real life of its own in the 15th century when the Protestant church was breaking away from the Catholic church and they needed money in order to support their new church. And so when you say things that make the rich people happier, like, yeah, there was this gate and the camel could actually get through, it was just harder, it made the rich people more comfortable and ready to give. Because what Jesus was actually saying is that you can't do it on your own. Putting something through an eye of a needle was a common idiom of first century Judaism. And it was as common to say that's an impossible task. Which is why he says later, but with God, all things are possible. But we're really not going to talk about that either. I didn't want to talk about that this morning. Instead, I wanted to look at the relationship between Jesus and that young man. I wanted to kind of let the rest of the dressings of the conversation carry their weight. But I wanted to think of them in terms of the relationship between this young man and Jesus. You know, there were a lot of these people in the ruling class that kept coming up to Jesus trying to trick him. They would try to get him to say something blasphemous, you know, and they were trying to outsmart him. But this wasn't like that. This was a totally different. The only other situation similar to this would maybe be when Nicodemus came at nighttime in John chapter 3 and secretly snuck in to see Jesus and ask, "What must I do? What must I do to be saved?" This young man was very sincere. He wanted to follow God. He wanted to be with God in the kingdom to come. You see, when Jesus uses the phrase age to come or kingdom of heaven, it's not necessarily what we think with, you know, sort of the castle floating in the clouds and the little angels and the harps and those kind of things that had come into our minds. Do you ever remember your parents or grandparents talking about they would bifurcate their life on some big event before the Depression, before the war, after the war? There were most of us have important events in our lives where we can divide. You know, Robin and I talk about BC, before children, and that our lives were different BC than they are now. Oh, so different. When Jesus was talking about these things, he was talking about that there would be an age to come when the rule of God would be complete. And for a first century Jew, this was not necessarily the pie in the sky heaven. This was about a real time and a real place that the real world would be ruled as if God were here, because God would be. And what this young man was saying is, I want to be there at that party. I don't want to, I know I've got to live through this life with the Roman boot on my neck, but I want to be there when God's in charge. How do I do that? So what does he do? You've got a homeless rabbi walking down the street, this rich man who could buy and sell all of the disciples and apostles combined, runs toward him, drops on his knees, and says, "Good teacher, what do I have to do to be there when God is in charge? What do I have to do?" So Jesus begins with a conversation about ethics. He reminds him of the Ten Commandments. Well, not really the Ten Commandments, because he leaves a few out. But he talks about don't kill. He says, do you remember the commandments? Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't falsely testify. Don't defraud. He kind of added that one. That one's really not in the original 10. But then he says, honor your father and mother. These commandments are of a particular interest because they are about this man's interaction with other people, not the man's interaction with God. Jesus omits the first three commandments, which talk about our relationship to God. But Jesus looked at this man, Scripture says, with deep love, because he could sense the young man's sincerity. Because the young man says to him, I followed those since I was a small child. I've been a good boy. I've been a good boy. I've done all right. Jesus says, you have, but there's one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And the man goes away sadly because he has many possessions. Now, in our minds, we often think in terms of either or. It's just the way our brains are trained to work. Either it's about following rules or it's not. Either it's about giving everything away or it's not. But I think there's something different going on in this passage. There was a TV show that I used to enjoy watching from time to time called Whose Line Is It? Does anybody know that show? Do you remember that show? It's an improv show. And if you don't know what improv is, it's a part of comedy where a team of people get together and try to make you laugh because they're doing it off the cuff, and they have one rule as they interact together. And the one rule of improv is yes and. So they start a conversation like maybe they're pretending to be on their phone with their grandmother, and then they hand the phone to the other person and says, Grandma wants to speak to you. So the other person says, can't say no, because that would ruin the bit. They have to say yes to whatever the first person says, and then they add what's next. Yes and. I think what Jesus is doing here is not either or, one thing or the other. It's yes and. Yes, young man, ethics are extremely important. Yes, following commandments are extremely important. And there's more. Yes, and. Remember, Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish them. Yes, and. Jesus is saying ethics is good, a necessary part, but there's more. The universal church, we've been trying to figure out what that more is for a couple of thousand years. We all know how to follow rules, but there's something deeper going on here. In Acts chapter 15 and in Paul's letter to the Galatians, there's huge debates about Christians being required to follow parts of the Jewish law. The Holy Spirit led the church to an answer of no to parts of these. No, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to follow dietary restrictions. You get to touch pork. Those are things you get to do, and you can still be a Christian. The ethical rules that Paul talks about also have a positive side. It's not just don't do, but there's also be kind, be patient, be encouraging. Put a sign in your yard that says be kind, be encouraging. Paul talks about that because our interactions with people, how we interact, is just as important as what we say when we interact. We need to be reminded again and again as the church that the ends do not justify the means. How we go about doing something is just as important as what we are doing. It's yes and. Being follower of Jesus is more than just ethics. It's also a relationship. I don't believe that Jesus was trying to get this man to be more ethical with his money. You can read that from the passage, but I don't think that's what that was. I think Jesus knew that the money was in the way. It was in the way between, it was a wall between this man and Jesus. Yes, and. You remember the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus is at their home, and Martha is busy preparing dinner. And she gets frustrated, maybe a little petty, as sisters are willed to do. And she comes up to Jesus and she says, Mary's not helping me in the kitchen. Tell her she should help me. And Jesus looks back at Martha and says, no. What you're doing is important, but what Mary has found is the greater part. It's the better part. Because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking in his words, getting to know him. Mary didn't let the distractions of the things that needed to be done stop her from spending time with Jesus. Each of us have things in our life that distract us from spending time with Jesus. Sometimes even church things. Some of us have things like the rich young man that are unhealthy, that keep us away from Jesus. Sometimes it's even things like service. Service to the church, service to the community. We get so busy that our ethical behavior and the good things we're trying to do keep us from the better part, from spending time with Jesus. Life is not simple either or, one or the other, black and white. Either we believe this or we don't. Either we do this or we don't. With Jesus, life is a constant improv. With Jesus, it's always looking at him and in hearing, yes, and. Yes, and. And the and is the better part. The and is the relationship with Jesus. Yes, the commandments are important. And so is Jesus. The and is the new creation that each of us gets to live. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.